It's very good morning to you. It is Tuesday, January the 25th. The massive McCafe menu coming up. Our official coffee partner today, senior writer, The Athletic. She writes for all about things, the NFL, and what a day it was yesterday in American sports. She's president of the Pro Football Writers of America. Lindsay Jones is her name. Looking forward to that. Brett Phillips, as always, at this time of year. Alex de Minaur is out, but a huge day at the Australian Open for a couple of Aussies, three in fact, Ash Barty and Kyrgios and Kokkinakis go at it in the doubles again. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix star Mitch Creek is going to join us, and he is always a fascinating chat. Your calls as well, the ENS open line is 1300 736 736, and the Temper text machine is 0433 98 11 16. We'd love to get that fired up this morning. Big Josh Jenkins is in for the morning shift. He's been doing a power of work over summer. JJ, good morning to you.
Kane, good morning. Good morning to everyone listening early on a Tuesday morning. Feels like a Monday to me, first day of the week, but I've been called up off the pine after... I don't work Mondays, Kane, because the NFL's on Monday mornings, and you could forgive anyone for skipping work or bludging yesterday, because what a morning of NFL we had.
It was crazy, honestly, and I'm interested in your thoughts, and I don't like to make everything... Americanized, if that's a word, when it comes to our game and the games that we love. But there's certainly some things that we can take out of the NFL in terms of how they get such dramatic finishes. Now, if you missed it, there were four playoff games over the course of Sunday and Monday, our time. All of them were close. All of them had their own level of drama, including the craziest one yesterday, the Chiefs and the Bills. If you've missed it, here's how some of it went down.
Little this time, wide to the left. Brady looking the other way. Brady going deep down the right sideline for Evans. He makes the catch. He's in for the score. Stafford, deep downfield. He's got Cup again. He's at the 10. Stafford says, let's get down there. We gotta clock it. We gotta get the field goal. Clock running down. They have time. Rams getting set. Getting ready for Matt Gay to come in. He spikes it there, and Matt Gay will come in and try to win the game. 30 yards to win the game. Matt Gay boots it through. And the Rams, by the hair of their skinny teeth team.
Allen fires it. It's a wide open! Remarkable! Touchdown, Buffalo! Davis again! This is... it just is impossible. A strike!
Down the middle.
It's Hill in the open. Cuts it upfield. He might be gone! He is! Kansas City takes the lead with a minute to go!
From the 19 in 17 seconds. Down the middle to the end zone! And there it is!
Touchdown number 4 on the night for Davis. I'm so nervous.
So are hundreds of thousands around the planet. The kick is good!
It's going to overtime!
Looking to the end zone for the win!
He caught it! Ball game! Chiefs to the championship game!
So the Chiefs beat the Bills in overtime. The Rams beat the Buccaneers. On Sunday, it was the 49ers beating the Packers by 3, and the Bengals beat the Titans also by 3. JJ, take us through it, please.
Oh, I don't know where to start, to be honest. The Bills and Chiefs game was the only game not decided by a road team. The other three all had road teams, road underdogs, going into hostile environments and kicking walk-off game-winning field goals. That was incredible. But then yesterday was just next level. So under 2 minutes to go, so inside the two-minute warning, with a minute 54, Josh Allen hits Gabriel Davis for a TD. They go up. The Bills go in front. Then with 62 seconds to go, as we heard, Tyreek Hill goes 64 yards on a catch and run to put the Chiefs back up. Gabriel Davis scores again with 13 seconds to go. We think, okay, well, there's nothing that Kansas City can do from here. Maybe a Hail Mary. You know, we've seen that happen once in 50 years. But they were able to get the yardage they needed, which was a big mistake by the Bills. And then Harrison Butker was able to kick a 49-yard field goal to send us to overtime. And from there, the only thing Josh Allen did wrong yesterday was call tails because we knew everyone in that stadium and everyone watching knew whoever won that coin toss was going to win the game. And that's a discussion for a little bit later in the show, Kane. But it was simply incredible and lit up the temper text already with people who tuned into the games. And yeah, I dare say there wasn't a lot of work getting done Monday morning yesterday across the globe.
We had the group text going and it was every time you thought it couldn't get any crazier, it did. Now, after 7 o'clock, we might talk about some of the worst rules in sport. You've said, I want the volcano this morning. And I've got to say, you've been on this for years. I've followed your Twitter account and the rule that the team who scores a touchdown first in overtime, the opposition don't even get the footy. It's hard to argue with that. So after 7 o'clock, 0433981116, worst rules in sport. That one is certainly up there. In terms of the drama, though, of the NFL, to me it seems like the ability to stop the clock, and I know it's a very stop-start game, and that's not something that we would ever want in the AFL, and it does take a long time, but does that give it the ability to have closer finishes? It's almost like they've got more options. You've got the two-minute warnings, you've got the timeouts, you can stop the clock, you can spike the ball. There's all sorts of things you can do to manipulate the result, and close finishes make great codes of sport, I reckon, and just to have four that close in the course of one playoff round was amazing. Is there anything, you've probably spoken about this before, that you can take from that game or other games that could improve ours?
I don't know. It's such a unique sport, and it's unique in the way that, so the Rams, we look at the Rams and the Buccaneers game, that thing was dead to rights for a long time. The only thing keeping that game alive was the fact we've seen Tom Brady do this time and time again. We saw him come back from 28-3 in a Super Bowl only 3 or 4 years ago. The thing that helps the scores and the games come from, basically dead to back alive in only a few minutes is the fact that you get 7 points. So a game that looks like, it's 27-3 or 27-6, you think this thing's over. Well, two quick scores and the game's right back on. You're only one score behind, or you're even, or you're a field goal away. And we saw that Brady, found Mike Evans for a 55-yard touchdown, and the Rams start shooting themselves in the foot because they start fumbling the ball and they get a bit tight. Well, we want to run down the clock. We're not going to play our normal game style, and the Buccaneers are throwing caution to the wind. So I think because you can score, the Buccaneers scored 3 points in the first half and 24 in the second half. I think because you can score sort of 7 points or two scores in a row, 14 points, it turns the game quickly. So perhaps that's the reason why NFL games can go from seemingly dull and boring to electrifying in only a few minutes.
Get involved on the temper text. Jacob says, greatest four games of sport back-to-back of all time. Alan Mahomes was just elite. Incredible viewing. Ross says, best two NFL games ever yesterday. Dean says, that was the best week of NFL football of the year. The Bills and the Chiefs game was insane. Unbelievable 42-36 in OT. We need college rules in the NFL for playoffs. Both teams get equal opportunity.
Not quite college rules, but I like the thinking. Not quite. The rules used to be worse. We'll get into it a bit bit more later. The rules used to be worse. It used to be a field goal and the game's over. The rules used to be even worse. So it's been improved a little bit, but I think we can go one step further.
Get that temper text line going, 0433-981116. There's plenty we've got to talk about this morning. Are you all in on this Kyrgios and Kokkinakis doubles situation? I'm reading articles in the Herald Sun, and Sam Groth, he's a ripper. I really enjoy his work, both in print and on Channel 9. He's written an article about Kyrgios and Kokkinakis and the way that they've revolutionised doubles. In the article, he says, I can't believe I'm writing an article about doubles tennis, but they're on today. Are you all in on this, or is it just a bit of a gimmick for you?
I was just checking to see when they were playing next, because I'm not a huge tennis guy, but I have with the help of speaking to BP most mornings. I'm very much more interested than I ordinarily would, and it's probably I'm following now Ash Barty and these two guys because they are entertaining. They are very talented, and they actually form quite a good and quite a damaging partnership. So they face a Spaniard and a Kiwi this afternoon at 3:30. So Oh, I guess we've got to kick them on, don't we? We've got to kick them to victory from here. It's a quarter final. We're nearly there. I guess we've got to jump on board.
Yeah,
we almost have to.
I'm so conflicted watching Kyrgios. He's such a disappointment to me. Not disappointed. Not that he cares, but just the talent and all of that. I just wish that we had a 2-3 year stretch where he absolutely gave it everything, so we knew where he could get to. But I love Tanasi Kokkinakis and like what they're doing, and it's putting bums on seats. So you're right, Kia Arena from 3:30. Ash Barty's up again tonight. On Friday, I had some comments to say about Nick Kyrgios because he reminded me of a movie character, JJ. Now, I'm not sure what your favourite sporting movies are of all time, but Happy Gilmore is absolutely one of mine. So I won't often do this, but this is some of what I had to say on Friday. Might get you to
honestly,
get up there, Johnny,
last night,
grab one.
It reminded me of watching the movie Happy Gilmore. Now, it's top five, the great sporting movies, Happy Gilmore, I reckon. And it reminded me of that when Happy Gilmore, and this is comical, I know, Happy Gilmore couldn't give a stuff about golf, right? He's a hockey player, but he signs up to the pro golf tournament to get his grandma out of a nursing home, essentially, and to save her house. He doesn't care about golf. He wants to be a hockey player, and he gets the crowd going, and he gets all these endorsements, and he's on the Subway ads, and he's punching on with the other players on the tour. That's Nick Kyrgios, is Happy Gilmore. That's what he is. That's essentially the way that I look at him, and that's what I was thinking last night. Couple of people sent me this, JJ. Now, we're content kings at SEN. You
yes,
know this.
Indeed.
SEN track boys, you talk for a lot of time. You've got to come up with some ideas. So, Nick Kyrgios is Happy Gilmore. Then about 15 people screenshotted me an article that was written on ESPN Australia New Zealand. The headline is, Nick Kyrgios is Happy Gilmore. He's ripped off our stuff.
You've been plagiarised.
I've been plagiarised. Jake Michaels, he's listened to the Captain's Run and he's ripped it off. But Nick Kyrgios is Happy Gilmore. And it got me thinking about sporting stars that could be movie characters. If you've got one for us, 0433 98 11 16, and which actor would play certain sporting stars, let us know and join in the conversation with that. And come on, Jay, he can't be ripping
Jake
off our stuff, JJ.
It's flattery, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe
you're not flattered.
Maybe it was just his idea. 1-300-736-736. Get it ringing. Did you watch the NFL yesterday? What are some of the worst rules in sport? Because Josh Jenkins is fired up. This morning, that McCafe menu, plenty coming up. Lindsay Jones, Brett Phillips, Mitch Creek is going to join us. And, of course, your calls. What's your mate John Stockton up to?
What is he? He's spewing mistruths is what it seems like. So he's been banned from his he's an alumni of Gonzaga, one of their greatest ever players, a college basketball team. His son played there only recently in years gone by. I think his son ended up playing some basketball for the Breakers out here in the NBL. But he's on record saying some ludicrous stuff about professional athletes dying and all sorts of things. So he's been banned for basically not wearing a mask. He refused to wear a mask. So I'm not sure what. For a very sensible player and a very sound player and a very great professional, I'm not sure what Mr. Stockton's onto.
So I had some things to say about Jack Darling yesterday and his refusal to get vaccinated. You've got no idea how many inboxes I got. the anti-vaxxers, honestly, they came from everywhere.
They are loud.
I had message requests on Facebook from people I've never heard of. I had people going to my LinkedIn and sending me messages on that. The anti-vaxxers are quite vocal and quite crazy, and unfortunately it seems John Stockton has gone down that route. It is 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. We're up and running. It is Summer Breakfast. Kane Corns and Josh Jenkins in the house. Massive show coming up. We're here for Kogan. Make the switch to Great Value Credit Card and Garage Doors Redefined. 4ddoors.com.au. Back after this.
Kogan, make the switch to a great value credit card. Visit koganmoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer Breakfast on SEN.
Yeah, up and running. And don't forget, the Toyota Caller of the Year is back. Make sure you call SEN Breakfast from the 31st of Jan for your chance to win a 2022 Toyota Hilux Rogue. Thanks to Toyota. Drive your Toyota Hilux smarter with my Toyota. Download the app today. Strong response on the Temper text 0433 98 11 16. Callum says those four games were the most amazing games I've ever seen, and it really shows the importance of a kicker. Few nominees for footballers who could be in a movie or be played by a movie. Your mate Dangerfield reminds me of Cinderella Princess.
Oh, I saw that text. I thought I'd just drag it over and allow you to read that one out.
sports movie Caddyshack, Field of Dreams, Senna, Space Jam and I, Tonya. That's his nominations for the best sports movies. Your brother Chad could play The Rock. Not sure about that. And a few crazy anti-vaxxers also sending us some thoughts. Some thoughts this morning. Hey, did you catch up on the story of the Zimbabwean professional cricketer Brendan Taylor? He revealed on Twitter yesterday, JJ's subject of a match-fixing scandal. This is explosive, really. You don't often see this on the social media platform. It's almost a four-page document of what happened when he was invited to India. He said he's going to make a statement regarding a finding made by the ICC, which is soon to be released. He played 34 test matches as well as 250 combined one-day internationals for Zimbabwe. A businessman asked him to fly to India, where he'd be paid $15,000 to discuss sponsorships and the potential launch of T20 competition. But after that, it was almost hijacked, and they got a video of him snorting cocaine, and they threatened to release this if he didn't partake in some match fixing stuff. Anyway, it's a crazy situation, JJ. What I wanted to ask was, he said that there's no excuse for this because of the education that these cricketers get in relation to this sort of stuff. Footballers now, it was a long time ago that I played, but there was so much education and it was almost hard to keep up. And when these briefings rolled in, you know, you had your drug and gambling, you had your respect for women and all sorts of things. How is it now, and what sort of levels of education does the modern AFL footballer have so they don't find themselves in situations like this?
Yeah, let's take away the last past couple of years, because a lot of hands-on and face-to-face things have been thrown out the window. But you get endless amounts of education, to be honest. You get so much that often across the summer, when you are training your hardest and you're at your most fatigued, you know, there's a meeting and you roll your eyes, but you actually do need to listen, whether you're new in the game or you've been around a while. Even yesterday, I was doing my induction at the Cats as a staff member, and the lady said, you know, just reminding you are bound by the rules of the AFL and you can't gamble or on footy or anything like that. And I thought, oh, hang on, actually I can't. Because I remember, you know, everyone knows I like to have a bet every now and then. And I was thinking, you know, I'm allowed to bet on footy. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, I'm not. So you do need to pay attention and listen up, because there's more than enough info out there, more than enough education given. But I guess when you read these types of scenarios, and players are warned of, you know, bikies and all sorts of, you know, professional crime syndicates trying to get their or weave their way into the AFL, it's a little bit scary, and it's a nice reminder for anyone reading this just to be aware of people who have got bad intentions.
Yeah, there was the situation with the Collingwood players, wasn't it, that were injured and touched their phones during the game. I think it was last year or the year before. And, you know, you think, storming a teacup, really. That was the view of some, and I can understand why. But then this statement from the Brendan Taylor, the Zimbabwean cricketer, you think, yeah, that's the reason the AFL are doing it. And that's the reason why they have to be on top of this. It's an absolutely crazy story. You can check out his social media if you want to do that, but the ICC are going to hand down their findings. You wouldn't think he's going to play cricket ever again. Temper text is 0433 98 11 16. It is firing up this morning in terms of the rules with the NFL as well. We're going to get to that after 7 o'clock. What are the worst rules in sport? Because Josh Jenkins wants to absolutely come off the long run this morning with his take. Channel 9's doing a great job of the tennis, and someone who used to work at SEN, one of our producers here, Val Febo, JJ, he was called up off the bench for Channel 9 at the tennis yesterday. Not a situation I don't think you want to be in with Tony Jones
For those that missed it, here's TJ doing some of his best work.
Well, it actually says on my rundown, joined on the desk by Jim Courier and Todd Woodbridge. Well,
where is he?
Are we missing someone?
I don't know. You've probably offended him so much.
Well, it's the only one I haven't.
Yeah.
So it's a little awkward, but see, what happens in the Logies is, I don't know if you've been to a Logies.
No.
They actually have what's called seat fillers.
Oh.
So it's just the general public who come along, and because all the stars are out in the foyer doing their thing, drinking and whatnot, they just bring in seat fillers. So we need a... Well, Val, come in here. You sit there.
Val's
talk,
in.
Right? You're not allowed to talk or anything. You just now. Val is our statistician, all right? So, Val, you don't have a microphone or anything, so just sit there and just fill that seat for us.
Val, what? No.
He's not even here. He's just filling a seat, all right?
You're not allowed to talk. Just sit there and look good. 0433981116. When have you been called up off the bench and put into a situation that has made you completely uncomfortable without putting you on the spot, JJ? I'm not sure you've ever been called up off the bench and been put out of your comfort zone. Maybe your first shift on SEN.
I've got to say, I make a living off coming in off the bench, off on every program we've possibly got on this station and SEN track. So usually get about 6 hours notice, come in and jump on. So I'm making a career out of it, Kane. So, I'm very familiar with Vel's situation, but when I've been called up, I'm actually called up to be able to speak.
He wasn't allowed to go behind the mic.
It was more awkward to have him there and not talk than just have an empty seat, I would have thought.
Yeah, I would have thought so too. He had his mask on. But anyway, I saw his social media. He got a bit of a thrill out of it.